This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a great day. The NFL world now fastly approaching training camp, which will be underway next week. We fly out next Wednesday after the show. Be in Oxnard, California. Cannot wait for that. For more on the NFL and the day of its news, here's Zach Wolchuk with your NFL news of the day.
Well, shout out to our guy Duke Manyweather, who continues to grow the sport and make us all more knowledgeable when it comes to offensive line play. He's got the offensive line mastermind summit going on. It's year seven. Kay Adams has been out there, and one of the people that she got to catch up with was former Cowboy Charles Haley.
Oh,
I'll never forget Emmett Smith during the America's game. Talking about Charles Haley, and he's like, yeah, Charles is crazy for real. And he sure is, but great dude, and caught up with Kay on the Up and Adam show. Kay asked him, hey, what's your thoughts on Dak and CD and all the contract stuff? Well, here was Charles.
He kept backloading everything. So now he's screwed. So now he, you know, hey, you know, his bill came due, and he doesn't have the money to be able to do that. And so what he's going to have to do is he's going to have to find another way around the salary cap, or push a lot of the older guys' salary cap way back. Mm-hmm. And then you don't know whether these guys going to play 1 year or 2 years, and then all of it come due again. So, hey, he gambled a long time, and now time is up. So if I can tell you this, trade that. Just put him up for the trade. Guess what? Every team in the league be after him.
Yeah.
Every team in the league. Dak is a winner.
All 32.
Dak is a great person, a great leader. I know him. I go up there all the time. CD Lamb, quiet guy, leader. Hey, he wants the ball. Here's Jerry Rice. Hey, just give it to me. I want it.
Yeah.
And so how do you not keep those guys together?
The one thing is,
Very important caveat.
There is no trade clause.
There you go.
For Dak. Now Dak could waive said no trade clause potentially, but he's going to come into a situation here where you're either trading him now or you're out of luck. I mean, he's going to become a free agent, and unless there's a sign and trade situation like in the NBA.
Well, hey, what if we get bad start to the season? And you get a Joe Flacco kind of we need you quarterback team who's playoff ready.
You move at the deadline.
And we're banged up. Didn't they tweak a little something with the way they do the quarterbacks? Didn't they push it? Or they're just open to the idea?
Well, I think they moved back the trade deadline a week.
Okay, there you go. But so maybe Cowboys sputter, playoff team, loses their quarterback.
Jets, Rodgers goes down again.
You trade Dak, and he's on the expiring deal, too. You're the team going like, hey, we have our quarterback. He's locked up for a few years, but he's out for the season now. We need a guy to go on a playoff run with us.
I love talking about this kind of stuff. For me, there's a mental block of I don't think the Cowboys will move off of a quarterback that can get you to the playoffs consistently. But if you look at it from that perspective as far as what's in the best interest of the team, I think absolutely, because we've been talking about how we don't think this front office goes all in enough to build a team good enough around Dak for him to win the Super Bowl with you. I think Dak's good enough to win it if he was on the Rams or the Niners or the Lions or, a lot of other teams, but not this Cowboys team. Then you add to it the fact that his contract is already putting you in cap hell. And when you extend it, it's just going to make that more, that there's an outside chance in my mind that Jerry could look at this from a pure asset and liability standpoint and say, our best way to a clear cap for the future is to move on from Dak. I don't know, is that 5%, is that 10% in my mind? It's somewhere in there, but damn it, it makes a lot of sense. And I think a lot of teams would do that exact thing.
You ever done an interview where the guy or the gal you're interviewing, you believe absolutely nothing they say?
Was that one of those with Charles?
I thought Charles did a good job.
I don't think he was on point with really what reality is with the Cowboys situation with the...
In what way?
I think he was on point with the kicking the can down the road and like the some of the back pay stuff.
The thing about it is they struggle with signing their players. That's the struggle. You know, it has nothing to do with the league. Now, it's when should they have done this a little earlier? Should have done that a little earlier? Could they have been a little bit more proactive in that? Yeah. I think that's something. I don't think, to me, it's not backloading.
Well, he's due $40 million against the cap next year with no salary, $12 the following year.
No,
there's $54 million against the cap owed to Dak starting next year. He's not even under contract.
And they could have negotiated this contract much further along. They waited. That's the problem.
It is the problem, but they also structured the contracts where a lot of it is the first couple of years they're not paying a ton cap wise, and they backload those contracts to where now they got a $60 million cap hit.
Hold on. The biggest thing to me is it's a above average quarterback, but the agent negotiates like he's a Hall of Famer. That's not the Cowboys' bad. Yeah,
but see, that's the Cowboys right there not getting the deal done when they could have been more proactive.
But how do you get that deal done is give Todd France what he wants, which is short years, market-setting money. And whether you did that for the first time in 2019 or 2020, it's going to end up over time being the same.
Could have moved on.
You're right about that. And that's what they should do, because you can't give above-average players Hall of Fame money.
Yeah. Instead of negotiating a $28 to $32 million year deal, they negotiate a $40, $50, $60 million deal. That's a problem. That's not being proactive. That is letting it. They let the franchise tag, the no trade. They gave up everything.
Well, Todd France knew where the money was going.
Every advantage they could have had, they have none of that right now.
The moment Todd France looked at their ever-expanding revenue in the NFL and said, we're not doing this deal now because we see the TV money jumping in 12 months. Only a fool would do that.
Yeah,
I think you've been put in checkmate by the agent. The appropriate response is to walk away from the deal and let the guy go, because he's been an anchor already for trying to get to the top along with the front office's ineptitude. And it's a huge amount of money he's owed against the cap already and about to walk away. It's the same thing that happened at the end of Tony Romo's contract. In order to keep adding players, they push the money back, and Charles Haley was dead on about that one.
Yeah.
See, that's, to me, their inability to get deals done in a timely manner kills them, because they're forced. And the backlight, sure.
No, you're right. But both are right.
Find a way to get the deals done earlier so you're not having to. It takes no talent to flip switches.
100%.
Takes no talent to flip a switch of a contract. Oh, this is built in to get more money to flip a switch. Sure. But the really talented negotiators, the really good cap guys and gals, they know how to negotiate a deal where all of a sudden they're not having to flip all these switches to keep kicking money down the road.
Yeah, both of these things are issues. You're 100% right, where they're never the ones that get out in front of these contracts. They wait to the last minute. Now you're in a situation where CeeDee Lamb's going to hold out. You've already got Justin Jefferson who's been paid. You've got Amon-Ra St. Brown who's been paid.
What's keeping them from getting these deals done?
Now CeeDee's going to get exactly what he wants to get, right? But how do they stagger these contracts? They do backload a lot of them, and a lot of them all seem to always come up at the same time as well. And now you're sitting in a situation where every single year it seems like their cap situation is bleeped.
Yeah, and I think you're 100% right at waiting too long on a lot of these guys. But in the instances that they've tried to get ahead of it, they've also just made the wrong decision.
Sure they have.
You did it with Jalen Smith. Didn't have to get it done
Gallup,
then, and you go for it.
Gallup, Steele.
Zeke.
Yeah, so maybe even Zach Martin.
I think they did it with Scandrick.
Yeah, like even when they try to get ahead of it, it ends up being Like, I don't
But there's a reason why those guys are down to get those deals done too, right?
Exactly.
Because they know, oh yeah, this sounds good to me. I'm probably not getting an offer.
Like, my leg doesn't work. Of course I'll sell you.
It's too much work, especially when you're running an energy company, a hospitality company, and you're helping everybody around the league build their stadiums. There's just, you need a front office that's focused on winning football games. And then maybe you'd have the energy to hammer out those deals early. Yeah. But their whole approach is, hey, you know what works? Let's just say deadline make deals, and then we never have to think about this. We can just enjoy our luxurious lifestyle and be like, yeah, a deadline makes the deal. I guess here we are. We got to sign it today. So what's fair? Boom. Deal done.
Even with the Dak one, when you think about it, like they wait so long and then they get sort of the get out of jail free card with Dak having the catastrophic injury that no one could plan for. And like that's the perfect time to be like, we've played hardball to this point, and oh my gosh, not that we were rooting for this in any way, but it's here now, and now we don't have to jump back in. But it was immediately, we haven't been willing to pay you, but now we are off the injury and we're going to give you everything that you want.
That's how you fight back against players that want to keep pushing it. You say, oh, okay, well, I guess you're risking getting hurt. Oh, you got hurt. We don't want you anymore. But instead they say, oh, we feel bad for you. We're going to reward you.
Right.
They did the same damn thing with multiple other players. It's a joke how they negotiate deals. And it's offensive because Jerry Jones is the talented negotiator, Brian. He's one of the best sports has ever seen. He doesn't care enough to do it the right way.
I wonder how much Jerry's doing the negotiating now. I wonder how much that's really Steven doing.
You would think that's like the one place where Jerry's like, yo, this is what I do. Like, you can tell me I'm not the football, everything, okay. And even he doesn't want to really play along with that idea, but you're not going to F with me on the negotiation.
I'm sure they're walking him through.
That is my wheelhouse.
I'm sure they're walking him through everything that they're trying to do, you know? But the fact of the matter is, they've put themselves in this bad situation.
Absolutely, they have. No doubt.
They have.
There's no denying that at all. Okay, let's talk some receivers here. We've got the top 10 execs, coaches, scouts, rankings for receivers. CeeDee Lamb is in your top five. Devontae Adams is number five. CD's number four. Jamar Chase at three. Tyreek Hill at two. And Justin Jefferson at one. Hard to argue those. Maybe you flip Chase and CD just based on last year if you want to. But, I mean, I think that top five's pretty sound. A.J. Brown at six. Amon-Ra St. Brown at seven. Mike Evans at eight. Stephon Diggs at nine. And Brandon Ayuk is at 10.
If I got to win a game, everybody's healthy, I prefer Jamar Chase
over CD.
I've got to say, if you take a poll of the Gang of Seven, I think they would take Chase over Lamb.
I think you're right.
Yeah. I think a lot of, now maybe, hey, maybe they're wrong. There's been a lot of these Gang of Sevens that have been wrong in their day. But I would say that if you ask most general managers, they would take Chase over Lamb.
Yeah, I mean, Jamar Chase is a freak. We're splitting hands.
And they
incredible.
Might be, and they might be,
but I think
they might be wrong about that because Lamb is a damn good player.
Yeah, I think ultimately you're probably right. Now, speaking of receivers here, Devontae Adams, there are some rumoruskies going on. And this is, again, from our guy Pretty Ricky 213.
Ooh, and he's the one that was talking about CeeDee Lamb holding
stuff,
out.
And he's
hit on some things.
He is.
Trevor Lawrence contract.
J.J. McCarthy stuff he's been in on now. He's got over 28,000 followers, but he's been floating out that the Raiders are a team that's interested in trading for Brandon Ayuk. And you've got the connection with Antonio Pierce, who was with Ayuk at Arizona State, and they would be interested in sending Devontae Adams in any type of trade for Ayuk. So maybe it's just one frustrated receiver for the other, but that also would be like, damn, if you're the 49ers, I'm upgrading at the position here. That would not be good for the rest of the NFC.
Yeah, and I wonder now if you're the Niners trading for the Devontae Adams contract, you're probably getting out pretty scot-free on a lot of those dollars. Like, that's probably a contract that the Raiders have already had to foot the bill on, and now you're getting, I mean, that would feel like a home run situation.
Yeah, for the nobody Niners. Likes skill guys more than the Raiders.
That's true. And Brandon Ayuk's a young, talented one. Yeah. They'd be interested there.
If they could pull that off and have it be a cap win as well, that would be scary.
Oh, that would be so frustrating. Then we had Hard Knocks. A new episode dropped last night. Now, we talked about the flirtation with Drake May, which we saw in last week's episode. They were interested there, maybe trying to move
up. Yeah, it's a $17 million salary this year for Devontae Adams.
It's really not
bad.
That
might be realistic.
Yeah, that's really not bad for Devontae Adams.
With an out after this season.
Yeah. Wow, man. Yeah, the 49ers could be looking in a good spot there. This was the Giants
Let's trade for him.
Did you mention the Antonio Pierce connection?
Yes.
Okay.
The Giants were discussing trading up, and there was a quarterback in mind that was not named Drake May.
Daniels. Have you guys seen enough that you would trade up for him?
Daniels?
Yeah,
I would.
Yes.
If we are about to pull this deal off, I'm going to have palpitations.
Welcome you to night one of the 2024 NFL Draft.
We don't get a quarterback here. We're rolling with Daniel, and we're going to try to get him a weapon. We're good with that?
Yep.
And that's what they did. They didn't get the quarterback. They didn't get to move up. Daniels goes 2 to Washington. May goes 3. They weren't able to go up and get it, but apparently Daniels was the guy that they wanted over May if they were able to get up and get him. And it was Daboll who said, yep, I'm interested. I've seen enough from him. It was Mara, the owner, who was like, ooh, I'm going to be sick about this.
Heart palpitations. Yeah,
absolutely. But very interesting. And if you're like, now the access that we've gotten, and this is why teams hate doing Hard Knocks, because now everything's out there. So if you're Daniel Jones, and maybe he knew about all this stuff anyway, there were all of these rumors and reports, but now you know for sure. Like, I'm sitting there and I've seen head coach, GM basically say like, yeah, I'd like to go and trade up to get your replacement. You're not good enough, dude.
Yeah, I wish Daniel Jones would come into my office if I'm a coach or one of those guys and say, man, I really didn't appreciate that. I'd be like, dude, go play better. Please get the hell out of my office.
Man.
Yeah, even Michael Lombardi, the best man from your wedding brought us. Mm-hmm. He was on McAfee saying like he can't believe the access that the Giants have allowed inside their building. And like, he feels like watching Hard Knocks, it's like there's no identity with the team. So he's talking S on him a little bit, but he feels like a guy who's been a general manager, a guy who's been in these front offices, a football lifer, basically his vantage point is like, wow, we're getting a lot here.
Yeah. And he's been ripping them too.
Yeah. But you got a general manager that's got one foot in the parking lot, and potentially a head coach that's got one foot in the parking lot as well. Probably want to come off as a guy, or, you know, like, hey, you know, it's a personable guy, you know, image, those kinds of things. Maybe looking at your next gig.
Man.
Yeah. But there's a lot of access there.
Yeah, I'll circle back to the Mahomes payoff before we get into our top 10.
Let's go. Okay, that sounds good. That's at 4:20. Coming up at 3:40, Wolchuk has the 21st century all NFL team. How many Cowboys will be on that? My guess is 2, maybe? Okay, we're talking Rangers with Sean McFarland coming up of the morning news. I think that'd be Ware and Witten. Ding, ding, ding. Okay. Maybe. We'll check. Okay. Sports Hodgepodge coming up next, though. Chief, where are you taking it?
I got a disaster anthem theory, and I believe we might have the best, most efficient, violent trash talk of all time next year in the nation.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Segment of the Nation is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you are hurt in an accident, not your fault, call the Frankels, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. Here's the Chief of the Hodgepodge.
Oh, I got some great trash talk for you, but Broadus has that look in his eye.
You ever keep your wallet in one side of your back pocket or the other?
No, I'm a wallet that's stuck to the back of my phone guy. I have been for years. Yeah. Great decision for me personally. I know it's not for everyone.
I have shorts now where the pocket makes me put my wallet on the left side, and I'm not used to that.
Your right side?
My left side.
Left cheek?
It used to be on my right side with my 1986 wallet.
Yeah.
Now I have to put it with I've worn shorts the last 2 days that have forced me to put it on the left side.
Mm. Might reset your hips a little bit. Might be good for you.
I might be swashing around there. You know, kind of.
Yeah. It's definitely not smart or a good thing to do for the longevity of your body.
Do you feel like if you lost your phone, would that be a disaster for you?
It definitely would be. Like, if my phone got stolen, it would be an unmitigated disaster. But like, you're more likely to lose your wallet than your phone. You know, you can't call your wallet.
I did actually lose it. Scott Agolnik found it for me one time.
I know. Yeah. Recently.
Yeah, that was amazing. That's the first time I'd ever lost it. Yeah.
Because you were so drunk that day. I'll never forget that.
So hammered.
Okay.
Surprise.
So
we'll, imagine that.
We'll get to
I'm drunk right now.
We'll get to the trash talk.
Oh, say, can you see?
It's actually good. I have a theory on that. I was thinking about this when I was driving home last night.
What theory? What theory did you have on the drunk anthem lady?
Because I was thinking to myself, you know, yeah, like, you know, everything's bigger in Texas. Maybe she wasn't used to the Texas-sized pores that she was getting.
How about
at Globe
the heat?
Life Field. But let's not forget, dude, maybe we could blame the robot for this.
Oh, the robot mixer.
We had the robot bartender at Globe Life Field. Maybe he was, absolutely.
Him and Rob Manfred together, yeah.
Yeah, with no moral compass either, you know?
Just serving you.
There's no chance that robot was heavy-handed, man. That thing's probably got it dialed. They're probably shorting people, actually, with the robot.
As you continually get drunker, the robot doesn't care. That'd be awesome. I'm not serving you anymore, but no.
Not for her, man. Yeah, I mean, we're still working the kinks out here. I mean, for you guys to just sit here and act like the first ever bartender robot is not going to have a little bit of kinks to start out. You know what I mean?
And then the kinks are definitely
like we're workshopping
fair.
Stuff saying, left and right.
But they've probably just got it like set up to where that thing is putting a precise amount and probably shorting over pouring. But you're right. Maybe there are some haywire things that go down.
Could you see yourself getting drunk enough where you feel like the robot's not doing its job and you jump over the bar and punch it?
Let me push it down.
Push the robot down or something.
Yeah, I don't think I can get drunk enough to punch the robot because that would probably hurt. Maybe sweep the leg.
Break one of the arms off. Like grab one of the pouring arms?
I have heard a lot of these robots do come with like fight settings. You've seen these like fighter robots?
Like fire?
He will be able to defend himself.
I'd like one that breathes fire on you. Like the dragon.
You saying we're going to have like robot bouncers now soon?
Yeah, we're going to get robot bouncers.
The robot's going to come over, just pick somebody up, carry them right out.
That's exactly right, man.
Damn it.
They can headbutt you and it doesn't hurt them at all.
I can see going over the bar and like, listen here, robot, and it just like sweeps you.
There would definitely be people that get drunk enough to do this. I had a buddy punch a fire hydrant once. He was so hammered. He got in a fight with a fire hydrant.
Yeah.
Wow.
He was just so upset.
He was
upset about something else, and so he punched. Like
he was so hammered. Some other guy walks by, is angry about something. Now he is angry about something. He doesn't know what it is, and the first thing he sees is this fire hydrant in front of him. Gets in a fight with it.
Contagious anger.
Schmuck.
What bar were you guys at?
That was during Fry Street days in Denton. I think we were just leaving Public House.
That sounds like a dollar doubles night.
Oh yeah,
yeah. It was probably only 9 p.m.
Who got the drunkest between you two when you went out in college?
I don't think.
Well, it was honestly late in our college careers that we actually started linking up. So it's hard to say. But I mean, in Oxnard,
how about just
I think
guessing
Oxnard,
since we're doing radio.
The
right
Oxnard
now.
Story.
That was
Walchuk.
Me.
It's Walchuk.
That was me.
We have an update
off the deck.
We have an Olympic poo water update. Mayor of Paris has fulfilled her promise.
Yep.
To get in the long polluted poo water. That is known as the Seine River. And that is where they're going to be holding a lot of swimming events for the Olympics. This has been a disaster. I mean, E. coli bacteria through the roof, even through just a couple of weeks ago.
They had to postpone
her getting in. She made a promise weeks ago that she would get in the waters to prove to everyone that they're clean enough. She had to postpone her original date that she had planned.
It takes 72 hours for that disinfectant to get on through.
And she's apparently fine. She took a dip. Everything's cool. She said the water's a little bit cold, but she said it was exquisite.
On.
But she did have the wetsuit on.
She did have the wetsuit
so
on.
So she had the advantage there. And I don't know that you can just immediately get out of that water and feel good about it. I think there's some level of what happens tomorrow to your skin when you wake up in the morning. What type of rashes will you find? You're getting a little bit itchy. She did wear goggles, so I think the pink eye stuff is probably much to do about nothing.
Good.
And I was going to criticize her for that, but I imagine anybody who's competing in those waters will be wearing goggles as well. So that's regulated. But anyways, it looks like, and I'm a little bit bummed about this. I was kind of hoping we were going to have a, like, up to the day, oh no, we're still worried about poo water conversation, but maybe they've nipped it in the bud.
I mean, they're pretty good at handling these things over the years, aren't they? I feel like last time maybe we were in Russia or something, we had poo water, Japan. I think there was
a similar deal. We'll hear
about the hotels and what they're doing
cardboard
with the beds
and all this.
And I don't know. I think the Olympic Committee does a pretty good job of putting these fires out, but the media is just ravenous. I think this gets clicks, you know? Like, the Olympics are in danger because water quality or because of amenities for the athletes. That thing is just getting nonstop web traffic.
I think the men's Olympic basketball team ain't worried about staying in any.
No, they'll have their
bummy hotel
in yacht
or something like that.
They're
selling in the village. They're at some five star. International Paris Hotel.
Even if the powers that be didn't pull it off for him, LeBron would have just been like, guys, don't worry.
He throws down
I got
American
a yacht.
Express.
I got a floor.
There's only like 12 of you guys. You guys can come aboard here. We'll be
fine. The unmarried ones are probably like, man, I kind of like to hang out in those athlete dorms. If you don't mind, guys, I'll catch you on the flip side.
Yeah. Edwards, you think Edwards?
You got a place to go back, though, at Bronze, with AC and stuff.
No Edwards doubt. Is like, hey, I'll see you guys later. Hey, where are you going? I'm not
going to hang out with the French ladies. Oui, oui.
Anthony Edwards like, you guys got any Plan B pills over here? And
see
this, you guys do that in France?
You see that Brazilian sand volleyball team? Yeah, that's what he's probably hanging
going
out.
For drinks, boys.
Right?
Have you guys ever heard of Mike Perry?
Yes, referee dude.
Bare knuckle fighter now.
Okay, I like where your head's at. Football guy brought us. That's okay. Actually going to give you football guy of the day right there. So salute to
you. I think
you,
it's John Perry.
Wrong about
my bad,
what we're
John
about.
Perry.
Animator guy?
Yeah, it's John Perry. It's not Mike Perry.
Oh, okay. Swinging a miss. Perry. I retract
Mike,
the
who was
previously
the
awarded
who was
football
the referee,
guy of the day.
Who was the referee? Mike Carey.
Mike Carey.
Yeah, Mike Carey, John Perry. Yes. They just morphed.
Yeah, they had a baby.
There.
And it's like, our guy could not get one call right.
100%.
They go to Mike Carey and they'd ask him and he got it wrong. 100%
he was fumbling a lot. But yeah, Mike Perry is a bare knuckle fighter, former UFC fighter.
Okay, so he is the one that is set to now replace Mike Tyson for the upcoming July fight.
Yeah.
Against Jake Paul.
We're not going to that.
It's this Saturday. Yeah, we're not going to
here.
No, but the Tyson thing's rescheduled, and it's going to be here in AT&T Stadium in November, assuming he doesn't get another ulcer.
Yes, this fight, I believe, is in Tampa.
We can go to that. November, right?
November 1. So, anyways, they're doing like the rollout stuff because this is fight week now. Jake Paul and this bare knuckle boxer guy, and they have this like promo video, I guess, where they're like sitting down at like a restaurant table booth, and they're just like face to face, just like going like verbalizing each other, like just completely tearing each other up. And this was just a little snippet of it, and I would imagine I don't know that it gets any more just efficiently violent than this when it comes to the trash talking. Here's Mike Perry to Jake Paul.
Your little baby green punches can't even fucking reach my brainstem, bro. I'm gonna dig through your eyeball and find your memories.
Please don't do that.
Please don't do that. I'm gonna dig through your eyeball and find your memories. How about that for some talk? This guy's selling the hell out of this thing.
How old is this dude?
Oh, 32. He's 32 years old.
Crazy psychomaniac.
Your little baby green punches.
Okay, that he sounds hammered too.
Yeah,
you know, that's probably, just punch drunk. Maybe he's hanging out with the national anthem gal.
He's gonna sing before the match.
There's some punch drunkenness.
Yeah, I saw the robot bartender floating around in the back of this video. So it makes sense. He was hammered.
Maybe you're right. Maybe he did get overpoured.
I mean, do you guys agree? Is that not some of the best we've heard there? Just
the
like that's pretty
he's
good.
50 something years
crap.
Old.
That sounds like that's after the fight.
Yeah. Your little baby green punches.
That's the that's like Eminem style, dude. There's a layer of like vulgar violence to that that's pretty impressive. I'm gonna dig through your eyeball and get to your memories.
Jake Paul's response. Please don't do that.
Don't do that to me. Anything else?
I like how he just brings up brainstem after all of that stumbling and fumbling.
Yeah.
Your little baby green punches can't even fucking reach my brainstem, bro.
A lot of things ain't reaching that brainstem right now,
it would be the first time in history that a punch reached a brainstem, so I'm not surprised about
it's
that.
My
Mike.
Brainstem.
Oh, here's another shot of whiskey.
I'm more in on this fight now than I was a couple hours ago before I heard this. Yeah. I'm excited about this.
These guys are wild.
I'm in for anybody trying to beat up a Paul.
Yes, 100%.
Well, thank you, sir. Anything else?
You mentioned the Eminem album. Has anybody heard it?
I haven't yet. No.
Okay. It is.
You were talking to me about
it. It's very intense, but it's fantastic. He's a psychotic genius, but it's just a lot to handle. The violence is through the roof, as you mentioned.
And Lucius, you were saying you got to listen to it.
Yeah, you got to listen to it in order. It's a conceptual album.
Okay.
Yeah. If you listen to it out of order, you'll be confused.
Pretty wild.
Good album, though.
It was good.
It's
Eminem.
He's really rapping a whole lot. Sometimes he says something, sometimes he's not, but he's just showing you his lyrical ability.
His ability to put words together. You're like, oh my God.
Is he taking us on a story?
I guess so. I was skipping around a little bit. I'm not going to listen to a song that's called Antichrist and just listen to you talking about the most ridiculous crap for 3.5 minutes. I just can't. I can't do it. So I'm going to skip that one.
Surprise.
But the ones I heard, they were pretty impressive.
So you listened out of order, which messed up everything for you then, right?
I guess, but it's one of those weird things where it's like, I don't know if I ever want to listen to it again, but I have to admire how impressive it is.
Yeah.
It's like what's the Adam Sandler movie? Uncut Gems?
Uncut Gems.
Like, it's an incredible movie that I only really need to watch one time. That's how I feel about this.
Very stressful.
Yeah.
You did your part.
I did.
Yeah, I feel like with some artists, they get to a level where they're like, man, I'm so successful. I just want to do like my kind of music. And they desperately need like their old producer to link back up with them and be like, hey, here's how we can make popular songs that everybody loves. Now, if you just want to vent and do your art, that's cool. But Eminem's kind of like, you know, looking for a needle in a haystack when it comes to finding something that's really going to resonate with the public like he once did.
How can I find something catchy where I'm talking about killing my stepdad?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Nailed it.
But, I mean, there's usually a couple of songs on every one of his records that I dig for at least a little bit. 21st Century All-NFL Team. How many Cowboys are on this list? We'll talk about it next in the G-Bag Nation. Yeah, thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. We're about 15 minutes from a conversation with Sean McFarland of the Morning News about the Rangers. And what his expectations are coming out of the All-Star game, takeaways from that game last night at the Globe. And it's time now to talk more Cowboys with you, well, specifically the NFL, but how the Cowboys stack up in this 21st century all-NFL team. Wolchuk, what do you got?
Yeah, this is pretty cool. Bleacher Report put this out. Of course, we just had the All-Star game in Major League Baseball, so they're like, okay, well, let's pick the NFL's 21st century All-Star team as we're already a quarter way. Through this century. So at quarterback, not really a surprise. It's going to be Tommy Brady. I don't think anybody's going to have an issue with that one.
Well, I mean, if I'm constructing a team from scratch, I think I would rather have Peyton Manning.
You'd take Manning over Brady?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think there's a lot that went into that with Belichick, the great defenses that they had, you know, the pay cut that Tom Brady took, some cheating. I just think Peyton Manning's a better player.
Yeah, I mean, they say you can make arguments Manning or maybe Aaron Rodgers are more talented, but Brady threw 88 touchdown passes in the playoffs alone, 35 playoff wins, won Super Bowls in New England and Tampa, 7 total, 3-time MVP, most decorated player in NFL history. There are a lot of people that will argue for Manning, so I don't think you're alone in that, but they go with Tom Brady. Do you guys have a preference either way on your quarterback here?
Yeah, I'd be going Brady for sure.
Okay. Running back, they say the toss-up is between Adrian Peterson and LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yes, as it should be, right?
I agree.
It's exactly what it should be.
Both of whom were MVPs once during their careers, in which they averaged 4.9 yards per touch. Peterson has a slight edge in terms of pure rushing numbers, as well as Pro Bowls and first-team All-Pro nods. His longevity might also give him a slight edge over his Hall of Fame counterpart, so they went Adrian Peterson as the running back.
Hey, you can't hold it against LT for hanging it up and having the self-awareness to do so.
Yes.
I mean, what are we talking about with Adrian Peterson's longevity? When he played for like 5 teams in 1 year or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, do you think people remember that LT did play with the Jets before he retired?
I'd like to think so, because those were playoff Jets teams, weren't they? Wasn't he on playoff Jets
Was those
teams?
The AFC championship teams with Sanchez?
Might have been. At least maybe one of those
Might
years.
Might have been.
But LT, I mean, my goodness, dude. Some of the years he had.
Incredible.
It was crazy. He had a year
broke
where
the rushing touchdown.
Yeah, 28 touchdowns. Mark. He had, listen to this stretch of touchdowns for LT. 10, 14, 13, 17, 18, 28, 15, 11, 12. I mean, he goes from 01 to 09, double-digit touchdowns every single year.
Incredible.
There was just something about the way Adrian Peterson ran the ball, though, that was different, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you.
A more complete player, but I'd have a hard time leaving Adrian Peterson on the board.
Yeah, it's fire. Wide receivers, they go with 3. Randy Moss leads all receivers with 128 touchdown catches this century. 4-time All-Pro, Hall of Famer. Terrell Owens ranked 2nd among all receivers with 123 catches this century,
and then
also a Hall of Famer.
Is it okay? Is it going to be Calvin Johnson or is it going to be Antonio Brown?
Neither.
Really?
You're forgetting a big one.
Marvin Harrison,
Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh,
3rd among all receivers with 121 touchdown catches, also ranked 2nd all time to only Jerry Rice in terms of career receptions and receiving yards, but. This one is interesting because it is very tough to leave out a guy like Calvin Johnson. But it is, I don't know that I could put Calvin Johnson over those three either.
Do you think a lot of people would legitimately take Larry Fitzgerald in an all-player draft? I mean, there was a technician and a completion consistency to him, but I'd rather have Calvin Johnson and Randy Moss and T.O. every day of the week.
Larry Fitzgerald had the most dominant playoff run I've ever seen from a wide receiver. what he did when they went to the Super Bowl with the Arizona Cardinals. He had a touchdown every single game. He went over 100 yards every single game. He almost won the Super Bowl for them, had two touchdowns in that game.
Yeah.
He was, I mean, I think people overlook how dominant he was in that postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I just did. I was about to show more love to Calvin Johnson and Antonio Brown and Marvin Harrison, but Larry Fitzgerald, there's a place for him there.
I
get it.
He was special. Tony Gonzalez is your tight end. This is actually a pretty interesting battle. You've got Gonzalez, you've got Rob Gronkowski, you've got Travis Kelce, but they think that Gonzalez, first-team All-Pro five times compared to four for the other guys, and his 14 Pro Bowl nods rank second in league history behind only Brady. Would you take Tony Gonzalez over Gronk and Kelce?
I'll let Broadus answer that. You're splitting big time hairs. I kind of like the new age guys. Michael.
Thanks. Sorry about that.
Got it.
I was sitting there thinking.
You're so lucky Sean's not on the show.
I know. I was looking at LaDainian Tomlinson playoff stuff. I'm going to eliminate Gronkowski.
Okay.
And I would say it's between Gonzalez and Kelce.
Two chief tight ends.
And I think I would take Gonzalez here.
You would?
Yeah.
It's hard to disagree. I mean, it is. Big time hair splitting.
The only reason I'm kind of leaning Kelce is his postseason as well. It's a shame
Gonzalez didn't get more opportunities.
You're right.
But man, when you had to prepare for a team and Gonzalez was on the team,
yeah,
that was like the first thing you talked about.
And he also dominated for two different teams. I mean, he did go to the NFC Championship game with Atlanta and Matt Ryan, and then unfortunately they lost in that one.
Yeah, Atlanta was like, you know, Tom Dimitroff, like, why did you give up all this for that guy?
Yeah.
And he still had quality years left.
So was Tony Gonzalez a good blocker at all?
Yeah, I think that
he was more than adequate.
Nice.
And when I say that, I mean get in the way, stay connected, move your feet, that type of block.
Because I was going to say Gronk's just such a complete player. We've seen games where the Patriots didn't have outside threats at wide receiver and they moved him out there and he was making plays. Like, I just don't think there's anything Gronk couldn't do on the field.
Here's your offensive line, the all-star NFL team of the 21st century, according to Bleacher Report. Maybe you finally get a Cowboy here. Your tackles, Joe Thomas and Jonathan Ogden.
Jonathan Ogden was amazing.
Your guards, Zach Martin and Alan Faneca. And your center is Jason Kelce. They write Zach Martin, first-team All-Pro six times in the last eight seasons. Martin is undoubtedly the most dominant and accomplished guard since the end of the Faneca-Steve Hutchinson era. And then Faneca as well, they wrote, it could have been him or Hutchinson, but he's got more first-time All-Pro honors than Alan Faneca. So they went with him.
We got our first Cowboy then, huh?
First Cowboy. Here's your defense. Maybe we get another Cowboy here. Your edge rushers. J.J. Watt.
We get a little D-Ware.
And DeMarcus Ware.
There you go.
DeMarcus Ware, they say Julius Peppers had more sacks than anyone else has registered this century, but Ware was only 21 behind that, despite playing 88 fewer games. Both Hall of Famers, but Ware peaked higher and has a ring, as well as more first-time All-Pros. Watt, three-time Defensive Player of the Year, five-time first-team All-Pro. He was dominant. Your defensive tackles, Donald and Sapp. And at linebacker, Ray Lewis and Bobby Wagner. They took Bobby Wagner over Luke Kuechly and Patrick Willis, but neither had the longevity of Wagner.
Yeah, Luke Kuechly was one of the best players I've ever scouted.
I would have gone Kuechly, too.
Yeah.
Kuechly and Lewis as your linebackers? Holy cow.
Yeah.
Here's your secondary. Champ Bailey, Pro Bowler in 12 of his 13 seasons.
It's unfortunate. The play that is most synonymous for me with Champ Bailey is the one where he picks off Brady and runs it up the sidelines in Denver. But Ben Watson, the tight end,
that was a playoff game,
has a beat on him. And it's a 99-yard chase down at the line of scrimmage. And I think it ends up being a touchback situation. And
Damn.
It's Patriots ball again. Oh, what a heartbreaking moment. Playoff game.
Yeah, I know. That's terrible. Other corners, Richard Sherman. His peak wasn't as long as Bailey's, but Sherman was one of the best players in the sport between 2012 and 2016.
What are we doing to Darrell Revis right now?
That's what I was wondering.
What are we doing to Darrell Revis?
Darrell Revis is number three.
All right.
Revis Island was a thing in multiple cities for the seven-time Pro Bowler and Hall of Famer, although arguments can be made for Hall of Famer Rondae Barber, Also, watch out for Jalen Ramsey in the years to come. I Richard Sherman had a hell of a run. I Barber over Sherman? I mean, I'll never forget the pick six Barber had to seal that NFC Championship game against the Eagles at the Vet.
Yeah. I will say this. Rondé Barber in the slot. Rondé Barber as a blitzer. Rondé Barber on the outside was a better overall player than...
And he'd fit, because who's your slot? I mean, I guess maybe Champ Bailey can kick inside out of these three.
But yeah, no, I was wondering, Barber, could Darrell Revis?
Barber, no, you keep Revis on
Revis
the
seemed
outside.
Like a true outside guy.
The outside guy. Barber, you put Barber, Monty Kiffin played Barber in the slot, and he was a weapon.
And then Bailey and
Revis
outside.
He had as many sacks as he had interceptions.
My gosh. But maybe the greatest safety duo in the history of football.
Oh, Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu.
Yes, sir. Ed Reed at safety, 9-time Pro Bowler, 5-time first team All Pro, Defensive Player of the Year in 2004, key part of a Super Bowl winner. And then Troy Polamalu, man. I mean, those two, unbelievable. Polamalu, 2-time Super Bowl champ, 4-time first team All Pro. So only two Cowboys make it, Zach Martin and DeMarcus Ware, over the NFL All-Star team of the 21st century. So this is since 2000. We had some people texting in like, what about Mark Bavaro? What about Joe Montana? This is only since 2000.
Yeah.
But there's your All-Star squad.
Thank you, Woolchuck. A fantastic job. And congrats to our buddy Zach Martin, who joined us on the Cowboys Player Show last season. And congrats to D-Ware, no doubt the gold standard of pass rushers here in the 21st century. Okay, we're talking Rangers with Sean McFarland of the Morning News. How will he set expectations when we get the season back underway on Friday? That's coming up next here on your home of the champs, 105 through the Fan. Yeah, thank you, Lucius. It is the G-Back Nation here on 105 through the Fan. We're about 15 minutes from a conversation with Sean McFarland of the Morning News about the Rangers and what his expectations are coming out of the All-Star game, takeaways from that game last night at the Globe. And it's time now to talk more Cowboys with you, well, specifically the NFL, but how the Cowboys stack up in this 21st century all-NFL team. Well, Chuck, what do you got?
Yeah, this is pretty cool. Bleacher Report put this out. Of course, we just had the All-Star game in Major League Baseball. So they're like, okay, well, let's pick the NFL's 21st century All-Star team, as we're already a quarter way through this century. So at quarterback, not really a surprise. It's going to be Tommy Brady. I don't think anybody's going to have an issue with that one.
Well, I mean, if I'm constructing a team from scratch, I think I would rather have Peyton Manning.
You'd take Manning over Brady?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think there's a lot that went into that with Belichick, the great defenses that they had, you know, the pay cut that Tom Brady took, some cheating. You know, I just think Peyton Manning's a better player.
Yeah, I mean, they say you can make arguments Manning or maybe Aaron Rodgers are more talented, but Brady threw 88 touchdown passes in the playoffs alone, 35 playoff wins. Won Super Bowls in New England and Tampa, 7 total, 3-time MVP, most decorated player in NFL history. There are a lot of people that will argue for Manning, so I don't think you're alone in that, but they go with Tom Brady. Do you guys have a preference either way on your quarterback here?
Yeah, I'd be going Brady for sure.
Okay. Running back, they say the toss-up is between Adrian Peterson and LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yes, as it should be, right?
I agree.
It's exactly what it should be.
Both of whom were MVPs once during their careers, in which they averaged 4.9 yards per touch. Peterson has a slight edge in terms of pure rushing numbers, as well as Pro Bowls and first-team All-Pro nods. His longevity might also give him a slight edge over his Hall of Fame counterpart. So they went Adrian Peterson as their running back.
Hey, you can't hold it against LT for hanging it up and having the self-awareness to do so.
Yes.
I mean, what are we talking about with Adrian Peterson's longevity? When he played for like 5 teams in 1 year or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, do you think people remember that LT did play with the Jets before he retired?
I'd like to think so, because those were playoff Jets teams, weren't they? Wasn't he on playoff Jets teams?
Was those the AFC Championship teams with Sanchez?
Might have been. At least maybe one of those
Might
years.
Might have been.
But LT, I mean, my goodness, dude, some of the years he had, it was crazy. He had a year
where he broke the rushing touchdown.
Yeah, 28 touchdowns. Mark. He had, listen to this stretch of touchdowns for LT. 10, 14, 13, 17, 18, 28, 15, 11, 12. I mean, he goes from 01 to 09, double-digit touchdowns every single year.
Incredible.
There was just something about the way Adrian Peterson ran the ball, though, that was different, you know?
Yeah, no, I
hear you. A more complete player, but I'd have a hard time leaving Adrian Peterson on the board.
Yeah, it's fire. Wide receivers, they go with three. Randy Moss leads all receivers with 128 touchdown catches this century. Four-time All-Pro, Hall of Famer. Terrell Owens ranked second among all receivers with 123 catches this century.
And then
also a Hall of Famer.
Is it okay? Is it going to be Calvin Johnson or is it going to be Antonio Brown?
Neither.
Really?
You're forgetting a big one.
Marvin Harrison.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh.
Third among all receivers with 121 touchdown catches. Also ranked second all time to only Jerry Rice in terms of career receptions and receiving yards. But this one is interesting because it is very tough to leave out a guy like Calvin Johnson. But it is, I don't know that I could put Calvin Johnson over those three either.
Do you think a lot of people would legitimately take Larry Fitzgerald in an all-player draft? I mean, there was a technician and a completion consistency to him, but like, I'd rather have Calvin Johnson and Randy Moss and T.O. every day of the week.
Larry Fitzgerald had the most dominant playoff run I've ever seen from a wide receiver. What he did when they went to the Super Bowl with the Arizona Cardinals, he had a touchdown every single game. He went over 100 yards every single game. He almost won the Super Bowl for them, had two touchdowns in that game.
Yeah.
He was, I mean, I think people overlook how dominant he was in that postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I just did. I was about to show more love to Calvin Johnson and Antonio Brown and Marvin Harrison, but Larry Fitzgerald, there's a place for him there. I get it.
He was special. Tony Gonzalez is your tight ends. This is actually a pretty interesting battle. You've got Gonzalez, you've got Rob Gronkowski, you've got Travis Kelce, but they think that Gonzalez, first-team All-Pro five times compared to four for the other guys, and his 14 Pro Bowl nods rank second in league history behind only Brady. Would you take Tony Gonzalez over Gronk and Kelce?
I'll let Broadus answer that. You're splitting big time hairs. I kind of like the new age guys.
Michael.
Thanks. Sorry about that.
You got it.
I was sitting there thinking.
You're so lucky Sean's not on the show.
I know. I was looking at LaDainian Tomlinson playoff stuff. I'm going to eliminate Gronkowski.
Okay.
And I'm going to say it's between Gonzalez and Kelce.
Two chief tight ends.
And I think I would take Gonzalez here.
You would?
Yeah.
It's hard to disagree. I mean,
it is.
Big-time hair splitting.
The only reason I'm kind of leaning Kelce is his postseason as well. It's a shame.
It's a shame Gonzalez didn't get more opportunities.
You're right.
But man, when you had to prepare for a team and Gonzalez was on the team,
yeah,
that was like the first thing you talked about.
And he also dominated for two different teams. I mean, he did go to the NFC Championship game with Atlanta and Matt Ryan, and then unfortunately they lost in that one.
Yeah, Atlanta was like, you know, Tom Dimitroff, like, why did you give up all this for that guy?
Yeah.
And he still had quality years left.
So was Tony Gonzalez a good blocker at all?
Yeah, I think that
he was more than adequate.
Nice.
And when I say that, I mean get in the way, stay connected, move your feet, that type of block.
Because I was going to say Gronk's just such a complete player. We've seen games where the Patriots didn't have outside threats at wide receiver and they moved him out there and he was making plays. Like, I just don't think there's anything Gronk couldn't do on the field.
Here's your offensive line, the all-star NFL team of the 21st century, according to Bleacher Report. Maybe you finally get a Cowboy here. Your tackles, Joe Thomas and Jonathan Ogden.
Jonathan Ogden was amazing.
Your guards, Zach Martin and Alan Faneca. And your center is Jason Kelce. They write Zach Martin, first-team All-Pro six times in the last eight seasons. Martin is undoubtedly the most dominant and accomplished guard since the end of the Faneca-Steve Hutchinson era. And then Faneca as well, they wrote, it could have been him or Hutchinson, but he's got more first-time All-Pro honors, does Alan Faneca. So they went with him.
We got our first Cowboy then, huh?
First Cowboy. Here's your defense. Maybe we get another Cowboy here. Your edge rushers. J.J. Watt.
We get a little D-Ware.
And DeMarcus Ware.
There you go.
DeMarcus Ware, they say Julius Peppers had more sacks than anyone else has registered this century, but Ware was only 21 behind that, despite playing 88 fewer games. Both Hall of Famers, but Ware peaked higher and has a ring as well as more first-time All-Pros. Watt, three-time Defensive Player of the Year, five-time first-team All-Pro. They went, he was dominant. Your defensive tackles, Donald and Sapp. And at linebacker, Ray Lewis and Bobby Wagner. They took Bobby Wagner over Luke Kuechly and Patrick Willis, but neither had the longevity of Wagner.
Yeah, Luke Kuechly was the best, one of the best players I've ever scouted.
I would have gone Kuechly too.
Yeah.
Kuechly and Lewis as your linebackers. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Here's your secondary. Champ Bailey, Pro Bowler in 12 of his 13 seasons.
It's unfortunate. The play that is most synonymous for me with Champ Bailey is the one where he picks off Brady and runs it up the sidelines in Denver, but Ben Watson, the tight end,
that was a playoff game,
has a beat on him, and it's like it's a 99 yard chase down at the line of scrimmage, and I think it ends up being a touchback situation, and it's Patriots ball again. Oh, what a heartbreaking moment! In a playoff game.
Yeah, I know. That's terrible. Other corners, Richard Sherman. His peak wasn't as long as Bailey's, but Sherman was one of the best players in the sport between 2012 and 2016.
What are we doing to Darrell Revis right now?
That's what I was wondering.
What Darrell are we doing to Darrell Revis?
Darrell Revis is number three.
All right.
Revis Island was a thing in multiple cities for the seven-time Pro Bowler and Hall of Famer, although arguments can be made for Hall of Famer Rondae Barber. Also, watch out for Jalen Ramsey in the years to come. Richard Sherman had a hell of a run. Barber over Sherman? I mean, I'll never forget the pick six Barber had to seal that NFC Championship game against the Eagles at the Vet.
Yeah. I will say this. Rondae Barber in the slot. Rondae Barber as a blitzer. Rondae Barber on the outside was a better overall player than.
And he'd fit, because who's your slot? I mean, I guess maybe Champ Bailey can kick inside out of these three.
But yeah, no, I was wondering, Barber, could Darrell Revis?
Barber, no, you keep Revis on
Revis
the
seemed
outside.
Like a true outside
the
guy.
Outside guy. Barber, you put Barber, Monty Kiffin played Barber in the slot, and he was a weapon.
And then Bailey and
he had
Revis
as many
outside.
Sacks as he had interceptions.
My gosh. But maybe the greatest safety duo in the history of football.
Oh, Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu.
Yes, sir. Ed Reed at safety, 9-time Pro Bowler, 5-time first team All Pro, Defensive Player of the Year in 2004, key part of a Super Bowl winner. And then Troy Polamalu. Man, I mean, those two, unbelievable. Polamalu, 2-time Super Bowl champ, 4-time first-team All-Pro. So only two Cowboys make it, Zach Martin and DeMarcus Ware, over the NFL All-Star team of the 21st century. So this is since 2000. We had some people texting in like, what about Mark Bavaro? What about Joe Montana? This is only since 2000.
Yeah.
But there's your All-Star squad.
Thank you, Wolchuk. A fantastic job. And congrats to our buddy Zach Martin, who joined us on the Cowboys Player Show last season. And congrats to D. Ware, no doubt the gold standard of pass rushers here in the 21st century. Okay, we're talking Rangers with Sean McFarland of the Morning News. How will he set expectations when we get the season back underway on Friday? That's coming up next here on your home of the champs, 105.3 The Fan.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.